Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is Scott Lewis. Scott is the CEO of the CEO Roundtable, new owner of the firm, and congratulations on the acquisition.
Thank you.
You want to tell our listeners a little bit about CEO Roundtable and what it is that you do?
Sure. I'm pretty excited about it. It's a business that was started by Lauren Carlson in 1996, so it's been going for over 20 years, and it's established a pretty good reputation amongst CEOs of developing companies and some established companies as well. He's got membership that, I guess I should say I've got membership that has spanned the whole 20-year history of the organization. And so it's got a lot of loyalty and a lot of personal relationships that have been developed within the group. And it is a forum for CEOs to talk to other CEOs.
So a peer network, built-in peer network, and brings them to on a regular basis to be able to share ideas and talk freely amongst themselves, so to speak.
Yeah. It's a high trust, high confidentiality environment. And, you know, you've heard that it's lonely at the top, and that's not to create sympathy for the CEO, but it is difficult sometimes to make some decisions and make them on your own. And so it'd be nice to be able to bounce those around. And CEOs are typically in a position to encourage teamwork and collaboration, and yet they're not in a position often to exercise that. So there's a lot of things that you can't talk to your employees about. You can't talk to your shareholders, your board, your wife. And so those issues are the kinds of things that typically get brought to our monthly meetings. We meet once a month. There are three groups. One is a cross-industry group that has a variety of types of industries, a variety of sizes of industries. And the nice thing about that is that sometimes you get dealing with an issue that maybe you've dealt with before, or you are currently wrestling with, or that you're not aware of at all. It's something you're going to reach, something you're going to have to do, or you have an opportunity to do that you haven't even thought of. So in that sense, it's a great opportunity to just to spend some time working on your business instead of in your business. Mm-hmm. So now I've used, I think, three cliches, but it's really true. It does give you that opportunity.
And it really allows you, I would guess, as you become comfortable with the other members of the forum, to really open up and share some of your thought processes, which is something that people often don't do.
Exactly.
So it not only can help you to drive solutions, but really talk through the issues and gain from others' experiences, et cetera.
Right.
Now, you're kind of unique in the sense that this isn't your first rodeo, so to speak. I'll use a cliche. And you've owned a number of businesses and been an entrepreneur. And so why this business now? I know the opportunity presented itself, but what do you see as interesting and exciting about it?
I've been a CEO since I was 26. I really don't know how to do anything else but be a boss.
So you're among your peers.
I'm among my peers, and I'm going to have a little difficulty being more of a facilitator than a participant, because I'm so fresh from the fight. But I've done 5 startups, 3 successful exits, 2 not so successful. So I've seen both sides of those. I've done 2 turnarounds, 2 major turnarounds. I came here from Canada 23 years ago for 2 years. Her name is Joni. My job here was to turn around a company called North Star Technologies, which made GPS stuff for boats and airplanes, and it was like working in a candy store. I just loved that business, and we grew that to about $40 million and sold it to the Brunswick Company, and they tore it apart, but that's their prerogative. And and then I did some consulting, and I worked with CEOs, and I did much the same work that you folks do, and enjoyed the heck out of that. And then I did another turnaround in Dedham for 2 years that ended 2 years ago. So I've been kicking around looking for the next thing, and I really have a passion for this kind of stuff: team building, improving the performance of a company, getting organization around a company. I really love it. I get so energized listening to the other CEOs in the room talk about their struggles and their the successes, and it just is energizing. So I thought, wow, if I can go to work every day and be as energized as I am, you know, when I leave one of those meetings, then this is the right thing for me to do.
You get to be a part of it every day. So it's a membership-based organization. People are part of the CEO roundtable, and they come to meetings, as you said, on a monthly basis. Right. Are there criteria in place? Is there an established process in terms of people coming on board and how that process happens?
Yeah, we you typically don't get people coming to one of these things unless they're open-minded and lifelong learners and that. But every now and then somebody comes in that knows everything they need to know about being a CEO and that this is not the place for them.
You wonder, what are you doing here?
Yeah. So there's a bit of a vetting process. I'll typically vet the, or Lauren before me, but I've been involved in this. In vetting the potential members and making sure that they have the right kind of attitude and the right kind of background. We're not so much about the size of business or the type of business as other similar organizations are, but it's all about whether the person can learn and contribute. And you have to be able to contribute as well as learn. You'll get both, but you tend to get what, here's another, you get out what you put in,
right.
another cliche.
You know, it's interesting that you haven't focused on size, and I always find that interesting because, you know, in most cases, and this is the experience of most CEOs that I've talked to, whether you're $500,000 or $5 million or $50 million, the issues are somewhat the same. The magnitude may be a little bit different, but it doesn't mean that you can't learn from one another.
That's right.
And I think the beauty of forums such as yourselves is it really provides, essentially you're providing perspective.
Yeah.
And commonality, and the commonality being that they're all facing the same types of issues, they just may be on a different scale.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had members that have been, you know, raw startups, $0, zero employees, just people who want to know how to go about this. And one of them just did a major exit. A couple of them have done two or three, and they come back because there's always something to learn. And it's not a networking group, but you get exposed to a lot of people. A lot of ideas.
And develop deep relationships, I'm sure, as well.
Right.
Amongst the CEOs.
Right.
And is there, is it a structured environment on a monthly basis or an agenda? Is it a rotation in terms of who's up next in terms of being able to present their
concerns? Structured as you can be with a group of CEOs. So it's a bit like...
Herding cats.
Here's another one. You beat me to it. We do have a little bit of structure around the sessions. They're half-day sessions. Once a month, and then we have a quarterly meeting that involves the whole group, and we invite other people to come and see a resource. There'd be a talk of some kind, but otherwise we don't have anybody but us chickens in the room. And there is a spotlight executive each month, somebody who has either asked to present something or is put on the spot to do so, to present a problem or an issue or an opportunity that they're dealing with at the time. And they'll get typically an hour and a half or something of the time to explore that and get that beaten to death. And then when they're beaten to a pulp, then there's a round table and everybody checks in and talks about what, you know, when we left our hero, we were doing this. Well, that's gone now, and now we've moved on to this thing. So it's a little bit of structure.
I guess one of the things that comes to my mind, and perhaps you don't have the longevity in the forum at this point, but you've been exposed to it, but how much of it is situational, wherein something's happening in somebody's businesses and it's concern like, or the things tend to be macro in nature, such as, you know, it's a difficult to find good employees.
So
is there a balance between those?
It's a really good question.
Real specific in my organization versus everybody's challenged by X?
And you're right. I don't really know the answer in these groups. In my previous group, it was seeded by a speaker of some sort talking about an issue. And we knew what that issue was ahead of time, so we thought about our own issues, and the debates were typically a little more generic, like you said, like, I'm having trouble finding people. So that might be something that I'll try to bring back to the group. There are enough issues brought to the table each time that it's not a problem of, what are we going to talk about? It's a problem of
what are the priorities and who's got the floor who's going to sure talk that first? There's fairness, I would imagine.
Yeah.
How large are the groups?
So there's about 12 people in each group, and so you'll get about 8 people in the room each time. Again, CEOs are often busy or traveling or not able to make a meeting. So I think 8 to 10 is about the optimum number to have in the room. Ideally, you'd have between 14 and 18 people in the group in order to make that happen. And that's about what we have.
Hmm. And I would imagine that the time flies by because, as you said, once the topic gets out on the table, there's plenty of back and forth and opportunity. And is it the type of thing where you're required, if you have the, and I'm sort of playing this out, if you have the spotlight, let's just say, for any given day, and you've presented an issue or a concern, and you said that there is a checkback, but is there a responsibility, if you will, to the group to sort of say, hey, I took your advice, I took your guidance, I listened to what you said, this is what I did with it, and this is, you know, what the outcomes were? Is there that sort of responsibility to make sure the group, you know, feels fulfilled in some way?
Yeah, and it's actually part of the function of the group because, again, quite often nobody's holding your feet to the fire as a CEO. So if you said you're going to do something and you don't, okay, it didn't get done. You know, you suffer the consequences, but they're typically not evident to you. So in this forum, you say, well, here's my problem, and you get some solutions, and typically you'll get a commitment. Yeah, you know, that's a great thing. I ought to do that. I will do that, and I'll talk to you about it next month.
So there is that accountability amongst the members.
Absolutely. Hmm. That cuts both ways, too, because as a CEO, nobody's going to see that you're burned out and you ought to take a week off. And that will happen in this group. You know, you're not making any sense. You got to think about this. You've got, you know, your head is up your wazoo. So take some time off. Think about it. Talk to your wife. Talk to your family. Do something that is hard to do that you wouldn't cause yourself to do. And that happens quite a bit.
So really force people outside of their comfort zones a little bit and make sure that they're introspective along the way and taking consideration. You mentioned that one of the groups is cross-industry. The other two are industry-specific? And what are those?
So one is a biotech group. Right. And those companies have a unique set of circumstances. Typically, they're pre-revenue. So they don't have a lot of operational issues as such. They have organizational issues. They have fundraising issues. They like to talk about the science a lot. So that's, you know, trading ideas about what it is they're actually doing is part of it. And then there's the high-tech group is primarily a group of software developers. Hmm. And they have their own set of issues as well, although they're typically more operational than the biotech group.
And are those non-competitive within the industry sectors?
Yes.
You'll vet an individual that's interested with the members and make sure that they're comfortable with what that company does?
There's enough diversity in most of them that, that's not a big problem. In the high-tech group, the software people tend to think, you know, everybody's doing the same kind of thing. So there is a little bit of that, but...
In reality, they're probably...
They're not chasing
the same mousetrap.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, fabulous, Scott. I wish you tremendous success in continuing the legacy of the CEO Roundtable and in your sixth venture, I guess, as it were.
I guess.
And if people want to get in touch with you or want to learn more about the forum, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, so my email address is scott@ceo-roundtable.com or 978-764-3934 is my cell number, and I've always got that in my pocket.
Wonderful. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Scott Lewis. He is the new owner and CEO of the CEO Roundtable, a forum for presidents and CEOs and business owners. But you don't have to be a business owner to take part in it, correct?
That's right.
You can be a hired gun, so to speak, or a leader of an organization.
Yep.
And he's been our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs, and we look forward to hearing some of the outcomes and success of your new venture.
I'll be happy to come back.
Luck.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs, and we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.